Let us pray. Father, Lord God, we thank you for this morning's gathering to hear from your word. Lord God, we just pray for the Holy Spirit to take over. Lord, I'm not so much eloquent, and I'm limited, oh Lord God, in how I can effectively present what you have in stock for your people today to them. And hence, King of Kings, I just pray that you have your way. And Lord, as I open my mouth, Holy Spirit, speak forth unto your people and bless all of us that at the end of today's meeting, we'll all go home fully blessed to the glory of your name. Thank you, Lord, for in Jesus Christ's name we've prayed. Amen. I feel it's a privilege to stand in front of the people of God this morning to share the word of God. And as I said, I feel so little because I haven't done this for years. But I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will help me this morning. But I would like us to start off by reading the scripture. And we're going to go to Psalm 11. Now read. In the Lord I take refuge. How then can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his highly throne. He observes everyone on earth. His eyes examines them. The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked, those who love violence, he hates with a passion. On the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. The upright will see his face. As I was thinking of what to discuss today, the first three verses of Psalm 11 got laid on my heart. And I wasn't too sure, really, what the message the Lord was trying to pass across until I started to study. And pretty soon, it dawned on me that, of course, as we all know, we're in a very trying time and with lots of uncertainty around us. Times where the changes in what's acceptable morally, it's sometimes at conflict with our spiritual beliefs. There is the socioeconomic uncertainty and lots of other things that tends to threaten our existence as believers. And as I was thinking about that, the relevance of today's sermon, staying attached onto our anchor, became clear. In Psalm 11, David was apparently going through lots of trials at the time, and lots were going through his mind, conflicting things about the promises of God for him and what he sees unveiling around him, which began to make him question whether he should rely actually on what the Lord had said or whether he should create some man-made solutions for himself. And as I was just thinking about that, what became glaring was that although things around him were against the promises of God for him, he knew the God he served, and he held on onto that anchor. And talking about the anchor, I decided, beyond what I know, let me search what it means. And looking at in the dictionary and looking around, it wasn't too different from what I knew, but like just as a reminder that it's a device that is usually connected to a vessel. I mean, that usually connects a vessel that's like a ship to the body of water to prevent that vessel from getting drifted away with the power of the current or wind. Now, there are some anchors that are temporary, and there are permanent anchors. And we just bless the Lord Almighty because we, as Christians, have a permanent anchor. An anchor that doesn't let us down in times of need. And we're in trying times, it's important for us to be reminded about that. Going back to David, so in verse 1 of the psalm, it reads, "In the Lord I take refuge. In the Lord I take refuge." And I am absolutely sure that he is able to protect me. So this was at a time when Saul, the king, became envious and jealous about David. He saw the glory of the Lord unveiling before him in the life of David. And he became terrified that pretty soon this young man was going to take over the kingdom, because apparently the heart of people were getting drawn from Saul onto David. And because of that, he started to make plots on how to get rid of David. And on that note, David fled, seeking for refuge. But as he did so, he began to get counsels from different people around him who were genuinely concerned about him, genuinely concerned about his welfare, and who desire that he stays alive, and who felt that pretty soon, if he didn't flee away from Israel, he was going to be killed. So that was going on in his mind. And it was on that note that his friends had mentioned that, I mean, like when they were counseling him, part of the things they said was, "Flee to your mountains like a bird. Just run away. For look, we know that Saul is after you. And we know that he's hiding all around, has arrows set to take your life." And come to think about it, of what good will you be when you are dead? So it's better you run away from God's promises for your life and just stay alive. Irrespective of what that is going to mean, irrespective of what it's going to mean that you wouldn't become relevant again in the purpose of God for your life, just flee. Just move away. Shy away from the challenges. And set up whatever you can in your own way to keep safe and secured. And that counsel was in keeping with reality around him. But again, it was against God's promise for his life. And we shouldn't forget that a lot of people around didn't even know about that. I mean, they weren't present when David got anointed to become the next king. And I'm not too sure how many of them he shared that with. Saul himself, who was trying to kill David, didn't know about that promise either. And I began to think about it as how that applies to us as Christians and how it applies to the dispensation in which we are living. Coming to think about it, how many times have people told us, you know what, forget, just keep that belief of yours aside. If you go on this rate, you are going to be in trouble. Keep that belief aside. Because if you continue like this, I mean, just compromise a little bit. You know, we are Christians as well. But things are changing. Just a little compromise. And that will be okay. And how many times have we, within our heart, thought, maybe I'm the one that is old school. Maybe I should bend a little bit. After all, it's not going to cause much damage. After all, I can go back to the Lord to ask for forgiveness. But the big question is that, like David, are we convinced of what we carry? Do we know the anointing we carry on us? At such times, do we sit back to reflect and think that no matter those challenges, I know the God I serve and is faithful to commit to what he has promised. I think about an experience that I had years back, and that was when I was transitioning moving back to Ireland from New Zealand, where I spent about 19 months. And I haven't been outside Ireland for 1 year. I needed to go through intense security screening because nobody knew what I was doing for the 1 year. And they wanted to be sure that I was coming back safe, for practice there, right? And the security screening typically is quite rigorous, especially for professionals, 3 months. Now, when I was setting out from New Zealand to Ireland, I knew I was coming to Canada then. Everything was set. It was going to wait for a little while. And during that time lapse, I was thinking in my head, well, this is the plan. This is the plan set out for while I'm in Ireland. And got back. And when I got back, I was meant to go do some locum in England, and then got back, and then they realized that, which I didn't even spot all the years of practice, the medical council in England realized that, hold on a minute, the best way of describing it is let's think about Matthew. You know, some spell it with double T, and some spell it with one T. So my middle name is something similar to that. It's Olayimika, to give a tongue-twisting test this morning, if you can pronounce that. So it's Olayimika. But generally, like Matthew, one of the letters or one of the alphabets was missing from what was on my graduating certificate from university. So it got to the GMC and they said, hold on a minute, young man. We're not too sure about this. You know, it's not a big deal. Just write to your school and get them to confirm that this is the real person, which I did. We don't know the beauty of what we enjoy in developed countries compared to developing countries. Here in Canada, back there in Ireland, or all I needed to have done was give a call to the college or the university. And the secretary would draft a quick letter signed by the dean, and within a day or two, I'll have it. Here I was, in back in Ireland, and with all the expenses, mortgages, this, that, 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 the little resource I had was gradually fading before me. What should have been a week to write that, oh, this is the same person, turned into a month, and then a month became 2 months. And my heart was going da 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 because the banks were writing, oh, now you're behind on your mortgage. And that was the time, I think Daniel was still very young, so my wife wasn't working. And this was very trying. Now, different advices could have come up. All they needed was a letter. Right? And you hear about things that people do in desperate situations. So it was possible that I could have thought, you know what, it's impossible to get anything out of the university in Nigeria. Why don't I play smart? All I needed to do was probably talk to a secretary or to someone in the university. It's amazing how things work in developing countries. I love my homeland, but there are some shortfalls. So I could have done that and said, well, after all, it's the same university. Just get someone to probably pretend to be the dean. Here is X amount of money. And get it sent to the GMC. The same school letterhead, everything. I could have done that because, as I said, there were lots of pressure financially. But it didn't even cross my mind to start with. I mean, we hear of what people do. What we did was to hold on to that anchor. Unless we were at a state then where friends were giving us money for sustenance, it was that bad. And then the GMC in England wrote, you know, we've waited for so long. We've got to close the file now. If you need to, we can always revisit it in the future, but we can only wait so long. So that hope was dashed. And then, as I said, in Ireland, 3 months. There's no way you can beat the system, just like here. You just got to wait. That's it. And then we started praying. And as the Lord will have it, I spoke to some people, and one of the, the hospital director for one of the hospitals in Ireland decided to consider some factors and said, you know what, while we're waiting for this, it's almost 2 months, we'll give you a temporary locum post. Are you okay for doing it for 2 weeks? You just come fill in for me. I said, wow, that's a lot. And that was how the Lord gradually changed things around. But thinking about things, if I have moved, and I've had lots of stories, even of some colleagues who had done things that you can't imagine a professional will do, right? And with time, sometimes it catches up with them. And hanging onto the anchor, although things around were contrary to, as we continually prayed, and there was a constant reassurance from the Lord that it is going to be well, that He was going to settle us. But as I said, it's easier to believe when you still have some reserve in your account. But once that
once you fully exhaust that, and then you're looking at where we will get the next meal from, it becomes very challenging. And sometimes you begin to question, Lord, am I sure I heard you right? Lord, are these promises actually for me? But we have a God that does not fail. Although we may not see what is working out with our eyes, I can reassure us that He is at work. And moving forward, it was amazing how the Lord just turned things around speedily. I mean, the job in England didn't happen because the letter till date didn't get to my hands. Till date. But the Lord, in His mercy, moved things on. And as I said, the English system can be very, 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 how do I put it now? They are very, very meticulous. Very, very. So what others would not really bother about, they will. As it was just one letter in my name. And they disregarded, not that they disregarded, they discounted the years of experience, years of practice, certification in Ireland, in New Zealand, and just show us that you are this same person. That the Matthew with double T means Matthew with one T. That was all. But the Lord fast-tracked things, and the story had never been the same since then. He kept His promises, and He did not fail us. So I don't know what some of us may be going through here today. It might be related to finances. It may be our health. We just heard about the testimony of, let me be sure I got her name right, Evelyn, right? All physical hopes were lost, basically. And if I had the testimony right, even while we were praying, the family had resolved to the fact that it was over. But when men thought it was over, the Lord came again with His surprise. The prayers of the righteous truly availed much. I don't know your own physical health situation. I don't know what other challenges you may be going through. Those are just, I mean, I cited just one example out of many. But what I know is this, that we serve a God that is faithful. He is a permanent anchor that holds us still secured, even when we get bombarded by the winds and storm of life. I don't know what people might have told you. I mean, for sure, even loved ones would have, I don't know what they said to Paul. They might have told him that, okay, like, so how do we go about the funeral arrangements and da-da-da-da-da? But at such times, the only thing that stands sure is our hope and our faith in the Lord. As Christians, Just like David, we have to have absolute trust in God. Because after the comments of that were made in the first three verses, we saw David's response in verse 4, moving onward, showing that, yes, he appreciated what they were saying. But verse 4 onward reflected his absolute conviction in the Lord. And as Christian, we should hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, even when happenings around us point otherwise. Knowing, as it's written in Hebrews 10:23, that he who has promised is faithful. Those that put their trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. And that's not because of how big they are in their faith, or because of anything that has to do with them. Rather, it's because beyond all that is happening, they have an anchor that cannot be moved. Because beyond everything that is happening, they are secured and they are convinced that they will remain secured in the Lord. At such times, when others are saying there is a casting down, they will be able to profess that there is a lifting up. And we see that in Job, chapter 22, verse 29. And by reason, the other thing that happens when we hold firm onto our anchor is that people around us that observe us, they see what's happening as well. By reason of the happenings in our lives, and when the testimony comes, we are able to look them in the face and say, I knew all along that my God wouldn't let me down. This is the doing of the Lord, and truly, it is marvelous in my sight. But if while we are going through those trials, if we compromised, if we fashioned for ourselves solutions that can be questioned, then when the Lord intervenes, how can we boldly say this is the doing of the Lord? And what I'm saying is not that when we are going through trials, we should have our arms folded and do nothing. That's not what I'm saying. But clearly, there are some solutions that deprives the Lord of all glory when the answer comes. Again, I'll try to, there are some cultural differences that I'll bring to play here this morning. Again, talking about preferring solutions for ourselves. And this might be a far-fetched example based, again, on where I come from. And you may not fully understand that here. Growing up back home, because of the uncertainty around and Like, things are not all clearly outlined the way they are here, right? You can finish your education, you don't know what the next plan is. School disruptions here and there, so you start your programs that is meant to last 4 years. You're not sure you'd be done with it in 7 years, not because you're not smart, but because there will be strike here and there. And teachers laying down tools, not going to work because they are agitating for salary increase and things like that. And even after you finished, you're not sure you get a job. So, people do different things. And when I say that, being careful about mapping out solutions that deprives the Lord of his full glory. I know, again, when we were growing up, and I give the Lord glory for all of this, myself and some brethren, also students, we spend lots of time praying, attending vigils and things like that. In the same state, some others sought help. They professed to be Christians, but they were seeking help from other means. So when we read about medium here, well, I know that there are some people that practice it, but for some of us, it's a far-fetched thing, right? We just probably read about it in the Bible, and that's all. But when you go to developing countries, because again, things are so haphazard, you understand what the Bible talks about there, because people seek power, they seek security from other means. And so appalling is the fact that even people who are believers or who are so-called believers sometimes do that when they find themselves in desperate state. And talking about doing things that deprives God of full glory. Now, when the Lord opened doors for me and for some of those my friends, because we stood on nothing else but on the solid ground, we could share the testimonies with others around going through trying times. And they saw that real. They knew what was going on. But what do we say of a Christian who decided to hearken onto advice from others that, you know what, you know, just get some little spiritual help from the medium or from the herbalist. Now, when he or she has the expected breakthrough, how can that person come and say, it is the doing of the Lord? I don't know the best example to cite here, but I do know that there are smart, what they call smart practices going on that are done even here. And some of us as Christians, out of pressure, bow into those. Again, we need to be careful, because by the time, and the Lord is faithful, when he says he's going to do something, he will do it. We are the ones that sometimes under pressure and because of time, we decide to, you know, play smart. But when he eventually, because when he grants the breakthrough, how will you be able to say, oh yeah, this is the Lord's doing? How will you be able to confidently say, this isn't because of me playing smart? And how will you be able to encourage others going through the same challenge? Again, we need, as believers, to stay attached fully to our anchor. For we live not by faith. For we live by faith and not by sight. And we know that God truly answers his people. And in talking about staying secure to our anchor, I would just like us to turn to Psalm 91. Because the big thing is that we've been talking about staying secure to our anchor, and we've cited examples. And I'm sure lots of examples about that exist in our lives as brethren here. We've gone through different trials and challenges, and there are lots of examples as to how we've hung onto our anchor and not compromised. And this is just to encourage us. But how can we continue to foster the strength of our attachment to that anchor? Psalm 91. And it spoke of lots of things. The protection for the believers and in different situations. But if we look at verse 14 to 16, we'll see why those protection are sure. Verse 14 reads, "Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name." How much time do we spend in our relationship with the Lord? How much time do we spend setting, it read, because he had set his love upon me. And we know the sacrifices that we've individually and collectively made because of love. Out of love, I know that many a times we've set aside our comfort and pushed on to satisfy our loved ones. I recently saw a couple in the hospital. They were around celebrating their 10th year wedding anniversary. And then the wife developed some complications while they were here from another province. Ended up in the ER. And where she was to stay overnight. And then you could see her husband totally exhausted. It was written all over. Yet he was there by her side. And then we were talking about, I asked him, "So where are you going to, have you made arrangement for where you're going to stay overnight till you catch your flight the next day?" They were going to be flying back the next day. And he looked at me and he said, "No, I haven't made any arrangement." I said, "So where are you going to stay?" "I'm going to stay beside her. I'm going to spend the night beside her. I'm setting aside my comfort. Even though if it means sleeping on the chair, I'm going to be there beside her." Are we able to go that extreme in our love for the Lord? Are we able to make more sacrifices in the place of self-denial? I thank the Lord. I look at us and I thank the Lord for the life of lots of our seniors here. And I have even shared this with some of them. Sometimes I scratch my head and say, goodness me, Lord, have mercy on me. Because I'm amazed by their strength, despite the physical limitation brought about by age. When I say their strength, I'm talking of their spiritual strengths and their sacrifices. I'm amazed at how they set aside time, sacrificing for the kingdom work. And many a times, I say, God, have mercy on me. Forgive my weaknesses. And I say, look in the congregation. There are still lots of gaps in terms of areas where there is need in the church. I'm very, very glad and thankful for how people are stepping up in their various ways, making commitments. But I think there's still room in terms of what we can do. Although we may be limited in our numbers. And one of those areas that I think there's more room for action is the place of evangelism. Bringing souls, letting the Lord use us as vessels to bring souls into the kingdom. So that we can have younger ones taking over the baton from the seniors around. I encourage us to build up more on the work of soul winning. We don't win the souls. The Lord uses us as vessels to bring them in. And it might just be inviting our neighbors. It might just be telling them about programs going on in the church. It might be in the place of words of encouragement that will attract them to the Lord. Let pray for the Holy Spirit to help us in our areas of weakness and to give us boldness to go out there. Because sometimes it can be challenging. Even looking someone in the eye and saying, you know what? God loves you. But let's pray for the Spirit of the Lord to give us grace and boldness to do that. And let us spend time interceding for souls. Family members, friends that are yet to know the Lord. Standing in the gap in the place of prayers. For the prayers of the righteous ones avail it much. I'll continue regarding Psalm 14. So it says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. And truly many are the afflictions of the righteous ones, but the Lord deliver him from them all. It reads, I will set him on high because he knows my name. And if we continue to hold steadfast in our walks with the Lord, my understanding of heaven is that it's a place of reward. Yes. Once we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, genuinely, we know that we have a guaranteed place in heaven. But what's different? The rewards will be different. And as we hang on to our anchor, it is important we keep reminding ourselves that. Because truly, if we set our love on him, he will set us on high. Not only here on earth, but I believe he's talking about the ultimate reward in heaven. While there's the trying of our various walks by the flame of the Holy Spirit, some will realize that their walks had been just of wood, some of silver. And those who have spent extra time investing back in the love of the Lord will find that their works will glow even beyond their own imagination when we see him face to face in glory. Verse 15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. So if I, as the owner of a yacht or a boat, yes, the anchor is solid, but if the link I have with the anchor is made of something weak, then in terms of trials, because I know that it's weak as well, in terms of trials, I will be troubled within. But if I build upon that connectivity and make it strong, then we know that in times of trouble, I will comfortably be able to say, yes, I'm helpless, but I know that he that keepeth watch over Israel neither sleep nor slumbers. And he states further, I will deliver him and I will honor him. We've spoken about physical health issues. The reality is that despite the prayers, the Lord knows what's best for each one of us. And be it for us as individuals struggling with physical health issues or the one health issue or the other, or for our loved ones, in his own infinite wisdom, the best thing might still be, you know what? I know you love this person, but I love him or her better. And I'm bringing that person home to me. But this is the reassurance, and which applies to us as well, that he will deliver us, be it physically, or be that it turns out the way we were in things we would have preferred it doesn't turn out. I'm talking in terms of death. One thing is sure. The deliverance of the Lord remains, and he will honor us. He will. That's why it's important for us to stay connected to that anchor. And I encourage us this morning, brethren, that even as we push on in our sojourn here on earth, to bear that in mind. Holding onto that anchor, holding onto that foundation, building up on the foundation that the Lord had laid for us, encouraging ourselves, irrespective of the trial, just like David, irrespective of the advices that might come, that might make us compromise. Not to be moved by what we see, but solely to focus on his promise and the word of the Lord. And I trust that as we do that more and more, as we continue to trust him for higher grounds, that he will honor us. And I can't wait to see that day when we'll all be gathered before him in glory, beholding his face, seeing crowns of gold being given unto us. It will surely, surely be great to hear our names being called and being given rewards that are mind-blowing. So this morning, brethren, I encourage us, saying, continue to remain connected to our anchor and continue to strengthen the tie you have with him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the message today. Lord God, I know that in presenting the message, I probably did lots of babbling. But I'm looking beyond that. And I'm trusting you, Holy Spirit, to reach out unto each soul, unto each heart present here this morning, and to expand, O Lord, on the message even as they go to their various home, challenging each and every one of us to push on unto higher grounds, to fortify our tie with you, the anchor of our soul. And, O Lord God, to be encouraged by you, even in times of trials, knowing fully well that your promises are yea and amen, and that you will do what you've said you will do. Thank you, King of Kings. And as we depart into the week ahead of us, we pray your glory will go with us. And your joy will be our portion. For in Jesus Christ's name we've prayed. Amen.